And this is our number two.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes in the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
It's a world of news in a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. Welcome to our Fastest 15. Temperatures headed to the mid-80s today. Just beautiful. I've been wanting the summer weather. I've been whining about how lousy the gray June and early July were. But this is, even in tough times, and I temper any joy by just thinking about what all these business owners and unemployed are going through right now, and it's heartbreaking. And I hope that all of you are enjoying a little, warmth of the sun, even when so much else has gotten out of control in lives these days. So that is my hope for you. Nicole, haven't had much time to chit-chat before the show. We've been so darn busy putting together this blockbuster. You do anything fun this weekend?
I hung out in my parents' pool. So that was nice with my nieces. That was cool.
Whoa.
It's just above ground.
Had a pool?
My mom has a big, giant, above ground one. Not a fancy in the ground pool or anything. Nobody has those, right?
Well, I mean... It's Whatcom County, so I could have figured out that it was above ground.
Technically, they're in Skagit these days, but yes.
Oh, are they? Well, Skagit and Whatcom. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with an above ground pool.
It's fantastic.
Yes. Yeah. And all the snobs who attach it to being of lesser worth, anything that gives joy is wonderful. And if you're a kid, we had a little pool. It had, two or 3 foot sides. And somebody gave it to my mom. It was probably, 8 or 10 feet in diameter. I felt like I was a Kardashian in the Mediterranean anytime I got in that pool when I was a little kid. That's all you need. If that's all your reference point in life, nobody should make fun of things like above ground pools.
No, and like I especially love the chlorine smell because it, you do take care of it like a regular pool and it has chlorine. Sure. And I love that smell.
Is it heated?
It's solar heated.
Okay.
So it's got like a solar heater thing.
Does it really?
Yeah.
I thought you meant just by the sunshine.
It has
a solar panel?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, good for you. Sean, how was your weekend? What'd you do, buddy?
Well, the weekend was pretty good. On Sunday, yesterday, I played some putt-putt over at Inner Bay with a friend of mine, and that was really fun. That was probably the highlight of the weekend. And getting out into the sun, we were like, we can't just sit around. Let's do something. So.
Oh, man. I hate to correct you. That's not putt-putt.
What is that?
That's miniature golf.
Okay.
At Inner Bay.
Okay.
Yeah, so putt-putt.
Yep.
Putt-putt is and I know this with great certainty. Putt-putt is a registered trademark of the Professional Putters Association, and only the courses that are built with the putt-putt seal of approval are true official. And here's how I know this, and I don't mean to hijack your story. Had you finished your story? Have you told me everything there is to tell?
You know what? It's funny. My friend and I were actually having this conversation over the weekend. Mini golf versus sort of the places you can go where you hit the ball through a clown's mouth or a windmill. Because Inner Bay is pretty basic, but very fun.
Right. Right.
I'm done now, Dory. I'm done.
Well, and maybe Inner Bay is putt. I don't think it is. But putt-putt doesn't have the windmills or the clown's mouth either.
Right.
That's miniature golf that has that. Okay. Because, first of all, there used to be a putt-putt course at Inner Bay. And my Little League buddy Roy and I, when we were 11 years old in the summertime, we'd take the bus from Ballard to Inner Bay because it was all play all you can play for, I don't know how much, but it was something we could afford at age 11. And so we'd take the bus. We'd get there right when it opened. We'd play 20, 25 rounds of putt-putt. We had just enough left over for a hot dog and a Coke at about 12:30. And then we'd, you know, we'd play a bunch more. And then we'd take the bus home, get home about 5 or 6 in the evening. And that's how I spent pretty much every summer Monday at Inner Bay Putt-Putt.
That's real cool. That's really cool. I know before yesterday, I hadn't played in a very long time. But I do miss the courses that have the windmills and the whatever you want to add onto there. But yeah, if you haven't been to Inner Bay lately, I'd say go check it out, Dory.
I will.
This is not a paid sponsorship for Inner Bay.
At one point in my life, and I was such a freak, you know, whether it was backgammon or racquetball or whatever I would take up, I decided I'm going to go professional at this. I'm going to do this professionally. And so I decided I was going to be on the professional putters tour, and I would go out. I had an all-you-could-play pass that the Linwood putt-putt had given me. And so I would play like a maniac when I was 19, 20 years old, thinking that I could make the tour. And I never took that leap of faith. But boy, that was a huge part of my youth, though. So I'm excited. I'm very excited to hear that you did that this weekend.
Yeah, thanks. It was
wholesome fun.
It was wholesome.
And if you want a great miniature golf course and you're willing to drive about 45 minutes, Parkland Putters, just south of Tacoma, where PLU is, the town of Parkland.
Okay.
A buddy and I used to go down there every Sunday night and play for, you know, just ridiculous amounts. So thank me later, but go down to Parkland Putters and have an evening or afternoon there.
Got it. Because
that's a good old fact. I think they have 4 courses. Or at least they used to. I don't even know if they're still open. It's been a long time. Okay, I got to get to the fastest 15 here because there's so much new. Oh, you want to hear what I did, Nicole, this weekend? I'll assume she does. Oh, there we go. Okay. I played pickleball. We had the Wymans and the Moyers over, and we played doubles pickleball round robin. And it was the first time I had really tested my new knee, except for bicycling. And it was the first time I did any kind of hard lateral cutting on it. And I used muscles that I haven't used since a couple months before my surgery, which was in February. So all these muscles that, you know, because I used to play basketball and all these sports, tennis and racquetball that have lots of lateral cutting. And I just hadn't used those muscles. And so we just had a fabulous time and made dinner. And then I could not walk yesterday.
Oh.
I couldn't move. I was so useless. But it was that good kind of sore when you're using muscles that have been dormant for so long. And I'm fine today. But
okay,
yesterday,
you're recovered already?
Yes.
That's
was a block of wood all day yesterday. My wife was frustrated because it was beautiful out, and she said, just why don't you come outside? Why don't you do something? And I couldn't move, but it was worth it. So I'm getting my new... Oh, yeah, go ahead.
You had promised me videos of you and Wyman, so what happened to that?
I know. I forgot.
No, that's okay. You were too busy having fun.
We were just having fun. Yeah, it was really good. Okay, let's get to the fastest 15, the world of news, in a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. And on a very serious note, the Bothell police officer who was shot and killed a week ago tonight, Jonathan Shoup, as you heard on our show Friday, we had just gotten word that it was friendly fire that killed Officer Shoup, his training partner, and Officer Shoup. They were involved in a firefight with the suspect, Henry Washington. And at some point, his training officer's gun, they think one of the suspect's bullets hit the training partner's gun. that may have changed the angle of the gun, but it was his fellow Bothell officer who fired the fatal shot on Officer Shoup. And over the weekend, Cairo 7 News, they talked to Officer Shoup's brother, Justin, who talked about, he was just such a wonderfully gracious man. This was his little brother who was killed in this. And Officer Shoup's brother, Justin, talked about how much his brother loved his training officers.
Johnny, he spoke about each one of his training officers as individuals, and he appreciated different qualities. And there's no difference for Mustafa. He spoke incredibly highly of Mustafa.
I cut that off. Mustafa Kumsar is the training officer in this case. And they asked him, do you have any hard feelings if this was friendly fire? And the brother said, absolutely not.
He's one of us. And that's That's the end of it. And I can't wait to tell him in person that he is.
Yeah, and it's, man, this is on the suspect, of course, who opened fire on these cops. But what a wonderfully gracious family they seem to be as they are dealing with the grief of the loved ones that, or the loved one, Jonathan Shoup, who was killed in that firefight. Up next in the Fastest 15, so a Kentucky family in the wake of COVID-19 has been placed on house arrest. And the reason for this is the authorities there told them, since you have tested positive, you have to sign a document that says you will self-isolate. And this couple, they said, well, we're not going to sign a document. The government telling us that we can't leave our house. They said, we won't leave, but we're not going to sign some government paper. So the government came and put ankle monitors on them. This is how out of control this has all gotten. Elizabeth Linscott, this is what the doc said that she did not want to sign.
Pretty much it was that I agreed to comply, to call the health department if I was to call the health department prior to leaving my house for any reason.
So they weren't intending to go out and be spreaders, but then her husband opens the door right after they said, no, we're not going to sign a document. And all of a sudden, there are multiple cops on the other side of the door.
Open up the door, there's like eight different people, five different cars. I'm like, what the heck's going on? This guy's in a suit with a mask. It's the health department guy, and they have three papers for us, for me, her, and my daughter.
And he says, look, we're not criminals. We just got the COVID.
We didn't rob a bank. We didn't rob a store. We deal something. We didn't, you know, hit and run. We didn't do anything wrong.
And they were willing to quarantine. They just didn't want to sign a paper. So they slapped the ankle monitors.
And that's exactly what the director of the public health department had told the judge, that I was refusing to self-quarantine because of this. And I'm like, that's not the case at all. I never said that.
Is this still America? Because it seems to be disappearing before our very eyes right now. Next in the Fastest 15, the president, Donald Trump, had what is being termed a contentious interview with Chris Wallace on Fox News. I thought Chris Wallace was just being a great journalist. And here the president says that, hey, look, I give straight answers, unlike the guy who's running against me for president.
There's nothing they can ask me that I won't give them a proper answer to. Some people will like it. Some people won't like it.
I agree with that.
But look,
you answer the question.
Let Biden sit through an interview like this. He'll be on the ground crying for mommy. He'll say, mommy, mommy, please take me home.
Well, we've asked him for an interview, sir.
He can't do an interview. He's incompetent.
He's incompetent to do an interview. And this was a very tough interview of the president. I mean, kudos to Chris Wallace for it. The president did take time to slam Biden more.
I say he's not competent to be president. To be president, you have to be sharp and tough and so many other things. He doesn't even come out of his basement. They think, oh, this is a great campaign. So he goes in. I'll then make a speech. It'll be a great speech. And some young guy started writing, Vice President Biden said this, 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 this. He didn't say it. Joe doesn't know he's alive, okay? He doesn't know he's alive.
And then this is the one that generated a lot of controversy when the president said, just as Hillary had concerns and questions about the 2016 election, he's not sure that he will accept the 2020 election results if they don't go his way.
In general, not talking about November, are you a good loser?
I'm not a good loser. I don't like to lose. I don't lose too often. I don't like to lose.
But are you gracious?
You don't know until you see. It depends. I think mail-in voting is going to rig the election. I really do.
Are you suggesting that you might not accept the results of the election?
I have to see. Look, Hillary Clinton asked me the same thing.
No, I asked you the same thing in the debate.
And you know what? She's the one that never accepted it.
I agree.
She never accepted her loss, and she looks like a fool.
Can you give a direct answer? You will accept the election?
I have to see. Look, I have to see. No, I'm not going to just say yes. I'm not going to say no. And I didn't last time either.
And Hillary didn't. I mean, Chris Wallace says, you're right, Hillary didn't accept it. And there have been a lot of close elections. Look, Gore and Bush, that wasn't decided for months and months and months. Christine Gregoire didn't accept the 2004 gubernatorial election. She didn't accept the recount. Then she got a second recount. Oh, we found a bunch of Christine ballots behind the fridge at King County Elections. And then she accepted it after it went her way. So it's not that unusual for people to challenge elections. Democrats do it all the time. Al Gore did, Christine Gregoire did, Hillary Clinton did. So that's being made out to be some huge deal when Trump said that. But any close election gets challenged. Every close election gets challenged. And that there is your Fastest 15.
This has been the Fastest 15 Minutes in the News. Fast. Dory's Fastest 15.
You give us 15 minutes, we'll give you the world. Okay, coming up next, we're going to take you over to my favorite part of the world, where a business owner says Governor Inslee is putting him out of business. He'll share his story coming up next. As the Dory Monson Show continues. Well, as you know, one of my favorite places in the world is the Lake Chelan area. It's my soulful place. And even though we sold our place over there a few years ago, I'm going to get back someday because I love it over there. There is a business that is having all kinds of problems right now, however, with the state of Washington, in particular with Governor Inslee and some of his COVID restrictions on businesses. In Lake Chelan area, there is a water slide park called Slide Waters, and they're in the midst of a legal battle against the state of Washington. And the owner there is Robert Bordner, and he joins us here on the Dory Monson Show. Robert, I appreciate you coming on with me this afternoon.
My pleasure, Dory. Hey, I think a couple years ago I had a shirt that you would have loved in our gift shop. It had a nice picture of Washington State, and it had the lake right in the middle, and it said my happy place. And I can't agree with you more. This has been, since the early 80s, a happy place for me.
Well, I had a place on the river just north of the Beebe Bridge, and yeah, that whole area. I would go into town all the time, and everything about that area is my happy place. So it is where I feel the most spiritual in nature, is when I'm in that part of Central Washington. Yeah, I really mean that.
I love it. I think I've skied in front of your place then, right there north of Beebe. I love to go down there and ski.
Probably. Okay, so tell me about your lawsuit against the state of Washington. What's it all about?
Yeah, so we are just out there doing our best to fight for our right to operate our business, right? We have a family fun, friendly, safe place for people to come and enjoy, and we felt like Governor Inslee and Elle and I were infringing upon those rights. So we did. We filed suit back in June. We didn't win our temporary restraining order hearing. It got shipped off to federal court. And last week, the case was dismissed and sent back to here in Chelan County. But we did appeal that. So now we're waiting Ninth Circuit to hear our case against our claims that Governor Inslee doesn't have the right to shut us down as a safe, friendly, good place to operate your family business.
Okay, and like so many resort-type areas, as Lake Chelan is, your business in particular is a seasonal one. And if you lose your summertime, you lose not just 3 months, you lose a year's worth of revenues and business, right?
Absolutely, yeah. So a standard operating season is Memorial Day to Labor Day. It's about a 100-day season that we typically have. And then we do about 70% of that business in July and August. So every July and August day is, you know, kind of take a normal business and multiply it by three or four. That's what each day of the value of each day of business is for us. And each week can be 12 to 15% of our annual revenue in July and August. So losing July and August days is just detrimental to our ability to sustain and to set up a business for the long run.
How long have you owned the place there, Robert?
Yeah, so my cousin and I have owned the park since 2008. We're the third generation owners. There was two sets of owners before us, and we've had it since 2008. So this is our 12th season.
So you know what it's like as a business owner to put your, I mean, it's all of your life's energy is put into your enterprise. And I've been a small business owner. I know what that's like. And it has to be just devastating when the government says you cannot operate. It's got to be crushing.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it just really hammers home at what we do. You know, I think any small business owner, they've chosen their path. They've taken what they do, and they have a reason behind it. And Burke and I are no different. We chose this business. We wanted to do this because of the value that we saw that Sidewaters has offered to Washington residents for decades. And it's a place where families can come. And we feel like we're operating a business that enables to strengthen the family unit, that brings families together, gives them those summer memories that they can take and strengthen their relationships. And we're just firm believers that the stronger the American family can be, the better that we can solve all the problems that are out there. So we are so excited to operate a place that brings families together and start setting up the young people for strength into their future, because they have great relationships with their parents and with their siblings, and they enjoy each other together. So the stronger we can make the American family, the better off we can be to tackle all the problems that America's facing right now.
Well, you give me goosebumps, literally, as you say that, Robert, because I mean it. I'm serious. I wish you could see my forearm right now, because I feel so strongly what you are saying, that there are so many forces in our society right now that are about destroying the family and tearing us apart and pitting kids against parents, and wholesome family fun is ridiculed by much of, you know, the, you know, pop culture, and I think there's a place for that, an important place, and places like yours were so important to my wife and me as we raised our three girls, and I feel what you're saying. Okay, but now, what the governor is saying is, if you stay open at Slidewaters, you're not going to be able to make sure that people don't transmit COVID-19 there, and you could have an outbreak, and there's just no way to control it. So what do you say to what the governor's reasoning is for shutting you down?
Yeah, I say it's flawed, and it's hypocritical, because here in the Chelan Valley, there's, as you know, there's four fantastic main parks on the lake. There's, you know, 25 Mile State Park. There's the state park up by the Alpenhorn. There's two city parks, Don Morris and Lakeside, packed every day, and on the weekends in particular, just overpacked. Cars parked on the street just to get into these places. And they're all operational. The government's doing, these are government-run parks. They're doing nothing to slow these parks down, to separate them. They're doing nothing. They have no COVID plan. I would go by and tour these parks. I see people on top of people. I see lines at their bathrooms, 30, 40 people long, just to get into the facilities. And my park's operating at half capacity. I have a 30-page COVID plan. I have 40 employees working every day to help me implement it, to keep the park safe. And I'm the problem. So it's just super hypocritical of the governor to say it's okay for these government-run parks to operate under standard procedure, but this private-owned business can't do it. And it and they have no dialogue with us. Like we've they would send a complaint, we'd say send them back. Like, okay, let's talk about why you think we can't do it. And they don't come back with anything but a heavy hammer, a heavy hand of fines or threats, and all, or the you know additional lawsuits back against us, rather than having an open dialogue. I don't think there's a person that has common sense thinking in the world that wouldn't say, okay, you have 15 acres outside. How many people can you safely put? Even if they said, okay, yeah, 15 acres, you can have one person per acre. At least it'd be a starting point. They're saying there is absolutely no possibility that in an outdoor park with 15 acres that you can, you can't, there's no possibility of a safe park. And it just makes no sense.
And so
makes
you've
no
been,
sense.
You've been operating at restricted capacity until yesterday. Dave, business closed yesterday. As of today, I'm looking at the message you posted. We have no choice but to lay off our 150 employees and suspend our season effective today, Monday, July 20th. And you said this is because of extraordinary and unfair harm and suffering being brought upon us from the actions of Governor Jay Inslee and the Department of L&I. So you guys are shut down now.
Yeah, this was the first. So we operate, we squeezed in right now a 30-day season. We suspended it at the end of business yesterday. Last week when they came with their restraint and their fine, they gave us till the 20th to fix our action. So we operated Friday, Saturday, Sunday. That gave us the opportunity to make our announcement on Friday and let people that had already traveled to Chelan to come to us or we're going to come. Like, we just needed a little bit of notice so that people didn't drive 3 hours and get here and realize we weren't open this weekend. So that was nice. We got the 3 days in, and then today's the first day that we haven't opened since we originally opened back on June 20th.
Are you going to be able to survive as a business?
You know, that's yet to be determined, Dory. That's our goal. And we're going to fight for everything that we can. We have hopes of trying to find a way to get some permission to reopen later this month or in August. We're doing everything possible. The community support, I think, you know, obviously the God's beauty here in the Chelan Valley is what draws people here. But, you know, we've been here for 10 plus years and they've treated us as our own. They've come around us. They've supported us. They started a GoFundMe account and they people want to see us survive. And that gives us the encouragement to keep going forward, to battle in every way possible to sustain the business. But until we get to September and we know exactly what we're looking at to survive an off season and to be able to pay all our debts and do those things, I don't know what it's going to look like. So but, you know, as I think any business owner that loves their business is going to do, you can count that Burke and I are going to fight for everything we can and do everything possible to be reopened this year and definitely in 2021.
Well, I'm going to close with the words you posted in your statement. You wrote, "We pray that our story will be a cautionary tale against big government and overreaching politicians preaching the need for a utopian society in which respect for others, hard work, and caring for your neighbor are no longer the responsibility of the citizens, but taken on as the duty of the controlling government." And I think that's very well said. Well, Robert, please keep us posted. I know the Freedom Foundation is working with you on this, and they're really good people. And please keep us posted and let us know what happens as you go down this road.
I will, Dory. I appreciate you helping us tell this story, and we appreciate what you do, and I will keep you in the loop.
Sounds great. All right. Robert Bordner with his cousin Burke. They own Slidewaters in Chelan area. Man, breaks my heart to hear stories like that. I'd love to hear your thoughts. Text me at 98973. That's 98973. Lots more straight ahead here on the Dory Monson Show. In our big lead at 2, I'm going to talk to Mike Solon, the president of the Seattle Police Officers Guild. And one of the questions I'm going to ask, in Portland, President Trump has sent in federal law enforcement. They're undercover, but they snatch up the worst of the criminals and they throw them in a van and they take them to be processed. And I believe it is now time to do that here in Seattle, because a lot of the worst in Portland have now come up to Seattle and were no doubt among the crowd smashing windows with baseball bats. So I'll ask the Seattle Police Officers Guild if they think the Prez should send in the feds. And I'd love to know what you think. Text me at 98973. Another problem in our region. Remember when Dow Constein bought motels, saying it was for COVID-19 quarantine, but it's just become homeless shelters? It was his way to use other dollars to pursue his homelessness goals. In San Francisco, they are doing that. And it is a disaster.
Millions of Americans have had to make a huge sacrifice thanks to the coronavirus epidemic. But one group that's living large these days is the San Francisco homeless population. The city is putting many of them in fancy hotel rooms at taxpayer expense. They also get free food, booze, and marijuana, all paid for by you.
Now, that is like the story that we broke about the Shoreline COVID hospital, where we were buying alcohol and marijuana for the patients there. City Journal's contributor, Erica Sandberg, she was asked if the program's working well to use our money to put homeless in nice hotels and buy them booze and marijuana and food.
Horrible. It's an absolute disaster. It's solving exactly nothing. And as a matter of fact, it's making all the problems worse. Insider sources are telling me what they are seeing inside the hotels, and it is about as bad as you could imagine, only exponentially worse. You're talking drug-fueled parties, overdoses, deaths. People are being assaulted. You have sexual assaults going on. It is pandemonium. It is extremely bad, and it needs to stop.
Can you imagine if you're the owner of one of those hotels? Government has taken it over. Can you imagine what you're going to have to do to make that fit for customers someday again? Okay, should the feds come into Seattle? Part of the Big Lead of Two next.